If every single time you handle a snake and you get snake bitten, quit playing with snakes. Amen? Any time that you play with fire and you get burned, quit playing with fire. Any time that you're out there shooting fireworks and you get burned by a sparkler or you get hit in the eye with something and you hate those fireworks, quit playing with fireworks. Amen? Any time that you're exhausted and worn out and beat up and feel like you've been drug across the coals of life because you keep toying with sin, quit sinning. Amen? So that's what I want to talk to you about today. The title of our lesson is, Why Then Do We Just Keep On Sinning? Have you ever thought about that? For those of us that are children of the Most High God, for those of us that have put on the breastplate of righteousness, we know what sin will do. We know what sin has done, and we know that, as Leanne said a while ago, sin will carry us way further than we ever intended to go, and it will cost us way more than we ever intended to pay. Does that make sense? Absolutely. So we need to leave, as we've said in several previous lessons, we need to leave that sin alone. We need to stop playing and toying with that. After knowing the consequences and after knowing what the consequences are for being involved in sin, it certainly does warrant the question, I believe, this morning, is why does mankind today continue to sin? When we know and believe what the Bible says about sin, do you wonder sometimes why do we as human beings continue to sin? You ever wondered that? Three of you have. You ever wondered that? So it just makes us wonder, you know, we've got a God that loves us. We've got a God that has demonstrated that love to us. And it just brings it up. Why is it that so many individuals in this world today, we just continue to sin and fall short? Why is it that we see sin on every corner? Why do we see sin in so many of the homes across this nation this very day? Sin that is so prevalent in the homes of so many people. Why do we see so much sin that takes place in the workplace? Why do we see sin so prevalent in our business transactions today? Sadly, I've seen when I was a car salesman, I've stood in the room when we have our meetings, and I've heard people just wallow in the sin they committed about how much they ripped somebody off. And I could have sold this car for $21,000. I sold it for $27,000. I held on to the rebates and I've done this. And stand there and brag about the sin that they were involved in. You know what? When we get our society gets to that point, brothers and sisters, we're in trouble, aren't we? And not only are we talking about the workplace, not only talking about our homes, but friends, we've got people today that will wear the name tag Christianity and yet will engage themselves in things that go totally against the will of God. Does that make sense to you? You think that's happening today? So why, if we understand the consequences of sin, why then does mankind continue to do that? We have all seen in God's inspired word what the pay is for sin, and we can see what those consequences are for sin, that those that continue in sin. We've looked many times at the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen of the... All right, very good, Heather. And then we know in Romans 6:23, we've looked at that passage as well, where the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Very good. But the gift of God is eternal life in who? Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we know without a doubt that the wages of sin is absolutely death, a separation from God. We know that it is a death that has a sting to it. A death that, as I said a moment ago, means separation from God for eternity. A place where we will be, if we continue to practice is the key word there. If we continue to practice sin, we will be in a place of outer darkness, totally separated from God. Can you imagine just how bad that's going to be? In a place where there's going to be wailing and gnashing, as the Bible says, of teeth. I think about Matthew chapter 25 down in verse 46 where the scripture says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the Bible says, into eternal life. So why is it that mankind today just continues to sin? Do we sin against God maybe because maybe we're mad at Him? Perhaps we're angry that we feel He didn't answer a prayer in a reasonable amount of time, a time that we set forth. You know, God hears our prayer. We pray that Your will be done. But Lord, we're telling You to do it on our terms. That's kind of the way we pray, isn't it? Sometimes we say, God, it's Your will. It's Thy will be done. And then if the answer is no, perhaps we begin to pout in our walk with Christ. Perhaps we begin not to pout, but also to doubt. And that's what Satan wants of you and me. Satan wants us to become angry at God. Satan wants us to continue to be in his snare. Satan wants us to continue to be a prisoner, brothers and sisters, of sin, doesn't he? He don't want you to post bail. He doesn't want you to be reconciled to God. He doesn't want God's blood, of his son, for you to wash in that blood. He doesn't want you out of sin's snare and out of sin's prison. When we know what the consequences for sin are, why then do we continue to sin? Mankind has sinned against God many, many times because, sadly, many people choose to sin against God. Sin is a decision. Do you agree with that? Our actions, what we do, we decide we're going to do. How many of you today would go home and light a sparkler and stick it on your tongue? How many of you would do that? If you raise your hand, you're nuts. Sis. Sis says, I'm going to try it. All right, so how many of us would go home and turn the stove on and get that eye fire red and just lay your hand on it for a little bit? None of us would intentionally do that, right? Why? Because it'll burn you. Say it. It will burn you. What do you think hell's going to do? It's going to burn you. Do you understand that? It is the real deal. I think we better continue to remember what the Bible talks to us about in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. I hope you're there, are you? So in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, I want us to see what the Hebrew writer has to say about man's choices about practicing sin and doing what we're doing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, beware, brethren, lest there be any, watch this, in any of you, what kind of heart? Evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The Bible gives you and me very detailed instruction. The Bible says, but exhort. That word exhort means to encourage, doesn't it? To lift each other up, encourage, to charge each other, to help each other. Watch that. To exhort one another, how often? Daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of what? Sin. Go to 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, if, there's a contingency there, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfastly. How long do we have to hold that? Where it is said, today, if you will hear this voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Friends, listen to me. We have to ask the question, why then do we continue to sin? Listen, please understand today, listen to this. Do you agree with me that sin is a liar? Sin will lie to you that quick and has lied to you that quick. Do you believe that sin will deceive you at a drop of a hat? Absolutely. We've seen many examples throughout the Bible that shows that sin is a liar and sin is a deceiver. Do you believe that sin is a very deadly disease of the soul? Do you believe that sin confuses people? Absolutely. Do you know that sin is a product of Satan and should not be tasted by any Christian? Do you agree with that? It is a product that Satan uses. Satan is using sin to lure us back into his snare for those of us that have escaped the pollutions of the world. What do you think's going on with our young people today? What does all the preachers talk about young people? How many do we have? It's very limited, isn't it? The young people that we have today, they're here today because the parents are forcing them to be here. I can't stereotype every one of them. But when we go out to the brotherhood, and I've talked to other ministers, what is one of the biggest challenges in the church today? Not enough young people. Why? Because it's not being enforced like it should. Not being enforced. Let them do what they want to do. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Because when they end up in sin and they end up in hell, guess who's going to be held accountable? Can you say, we are? Can we say that together? We are. So yes, there's choices to be made. But we need to make sure that they understand that when you play with fire, you will get burned. I'm convinced, according to our love for the Lord and His love for us, that it should be your chief desire. It should be my chief desire. It should be our goal not to sin. Do you agree with it? We need to get up every day with the idea, what can I do today to minimize this sin? Am I going to sin? Are we going to sin? Yes. Are we going to fall short? There's a difference in sinning and intentionally sinning. There's a difference between sinning and practicing sin. Some would be legalistic and say, well, I don't think so. The end result is sin. Well, that's true. The end result is still sin. But for the Christian, for the follower who's not practicing sin, We are under the grace, mercy, and love of God. Amen. We have been washed in His blood. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from, give me the next word. Very good. All of our sin. However, if we continue to practice sin, meaning what I brought to you a while ago, when we make that decision, I know this is wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. God forgive me. We've seen that in our society, haven't we? I've even uttered those words myself. I know I shouldn't say this. I know I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't participate in this. God, I am so sorry. I'm already apologizing to God before I even do the sin. That's pretty intentional sin, isn't it? Let us be reminded what the Hebrew writer said in 10:26. If you sin willfully after knowing the right way, after knowing what God sent us to do, the Bible says there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sin. Is that scary? That's what's scary. Not everybody agreed with that. Is that scary? Absolutely. So it should wake us up, and it should warrant the question, and it should bring forth some answers from each of us. Why then do we just keep on sinning? Are we letting the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed from His veins, are we letting that be in vain? Are we letting that crucifixion that Jesus went through, are we just letting that be something minor in our lives? Hopefully not. Why then do we just keep on sinning? Again, I'm convinced, according to our love for God and His love for us, that it should be your desire, it should be my desire to live for Jesus Christ. Let's use this word, nonstop. Amen? Let's go to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 119. Look with me at verses 1 through 8. Psalm 19, 1 through 8. Are y'all ready? The Bible says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with how much of their heart? Very good, their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Go to 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of Your commandments, God. I will praise You, God, with the uprightness of my what? When I learn Your righteous judgments, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me. And look at the last word used by the psalmist. Utterly. Don't leave me, please. Is that pretty cool? Isn't that awesome that this psalmist is asking, that you and I are asking God today, don't leave us, please. We're asking God not to leave us. We're asking God not to forsake us. We're asking God not to reject us. But all three of those things we do to Him almost on a daily basis, don't we? God, don't leave me, but we leave Him. God, don't separate from me, but we separate ourselves from Him. When do we do that? When we engage ourselves in intentional sin. Why then do we just keep on sinning? I think about 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not what? And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Guess who that is? The Bible says it's Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? The righteous. Well, then go to verse 2. And He Himself is the propitiation or substitute for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole wide what? Thank you. For the whole wide world. Listen to me. It should be your goal and it should be my goal. Our goal together, not to sin. Be sure that we remember Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Bam! Look at that question mark. You like that? Get your attention, doesn't it? The Bible says in the next two words, certainly not. That's not why we're doing that. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Wake up. You're a Christian. Stop intentionally sinning. That's what the shake is here, isn't it? All right. So, living for Christ, we need to be living as sinless as possible. That should be your goal and mine. So let me be very clear as I convey this message to you today. We all sin. Is that about right? We all fall short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. However, Christians should not practice sin. Let me go back over to 1 John. Would you go there? You're probably already there, aren't you? I don't have that many markers in my Bible. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verses what? I heard 6 different answers. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 8 through 10. All right, very good. All right, I like that. Sound like Paula last night when I was doing my lesson. All right, 1 John 3, 8 through 10, the Bible says, he who sins is of Ananias and Sapphira. It's not what the Bible says. Esther, stop. The Bible says, who sinned is of... For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Is that true? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you think we ought to go to verse 9? I do. Okay, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of who? Verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. That means made known. Do we agree with that? All right, watch this. Whoever does not practice, Jerry Jr., are you on this? Those who do not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Might as well go to verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should do what? Love one another. Folks, let me tell you something. We cannot get to heaven if we practice sin. Is that right? Then why? Back to the title. Why then do we just keep on sinning? That old thing that we should see on the back of those trucks. Keep on trucking. You remember that? It'll get you somewhere. Keep on sinning. It'll get you somewhere. I guarantee you, according to the Bible. Are we in agreement? Y'all with me so far? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is what? So let's take a quick look, brothers and sisters, about why then do we just keep on sinning. Let me give you about three really short points, and, well, two really short points. Well, actually, one short point, and then, Amy, I'll get you out sometime today. First point. I want us to examine today, as we talk about why then do we keep on sinning, here's why mankind keeps sinning. Because, and I believe this according to the Bible, because they don't fully understand hell's punishment. Does that make any sense? I believe people today keep on doing what they're doing, keep on separating themselves from God, because mankind truly doesn't understand hell's punishment. Hell is real. For those of you that have uttered the words, my life has been a living hell, you have no clue what you're talking about. Okay, I'm not judging you, but you don't. I've been studying very diligently about hell and the reality of hell, the horrors of hell, the agony of hell. I can tell you this, I want no part of that. And when I read about the reality of hell and how serious hell is, my life is in paradise today, okay? I've got a perfect life. Do I have an illness? Absolutely. Could it take me? Sure it can. Do I have difficulties and problems and bills to pay and all these other problems? Do I have some dermatology problems? Absolutely. Do I have dental problems? Yeah, I'm proud of it. But my life is perfect, brothers and sisters, compared to what I see is waiting on people just going to hell. Do you understand that? So I want us to understand today that people continue to practice sin because they don't fully understand hell's punishment. I feel pretty confident in saying that if mankind truly knew and believed in his heart what hell has to offer, I believe there'll be a rush, brothers and sisters, to righteous living. Do you believe that? I believe people would get off of that little side road and get on the highway of holiness. Do you agree with that? Because nobody wants to be part of hell. How many in here want to be part of hell? None of us. If you raise your hand, we're not going to beat you up or judge you. We're just going to ask you to come to the front row and let's talk after services. And then we're going to tell you how crazy you are. Because that's the reality. Nobody wants to be part of that. Hell is horrible. Say it with it like you mean it. Amen? Hell is agony. Hell is eternal. I can't help but to think about a few passages of Scripture that speak about hell and its inhabitants. I can't overlook what the eternal consequences are for the individuals that will be going there. Over in 2 Thessalonians, you better let me get there because you get there quicker than me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Is that about right? All right. So let me get there with you. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. And for those of you who may be having a little bit of doubt about the reality of hell, if you believe the Bible, does everybody here believe the Bible? Confirm it with an amen. All right, so Paula and Jay does not believe the Bible. Do y'all believe the Bible? Confirm it with an amen. Both of them are looking straight down. All right, not that I would punk anybody out, Paula and Jay. All right, were you looking up? Leanne, I'm proud of you. Leanne's on it. Tell you that. All right. So let's go see what's going on in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Are we ready? The Bible says, in flaming, say the word, fire. Very good. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, who? These shall be, give me the words, guys. Punished, the Bible says, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So I had to throw in verse 10, but I want you to remember 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance. Who's taking the vengeance? The Apostle Paul, as he talks to Thessalonians, or are you talking about God? God's going to take that, isn't He? Isn't it? Very good. All right, well, let's not forget Matthew 25 down in verse 41. Matthew 25 down in verse 41. Check this passage out. The Bible says, then He will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye what? Cursed. Very good, Ashley. Into the everlasting fire. Did y'all notice those two words? Everlasting fire. There it is. And who prepared that? God did. Who did He prepare it for? The devil. Prepared for the devil. And not only the devil, but also the devil's angels, those demons. Do we agree with that? So let's be reminded. Seriously. Let's be reminded that we only have one life to live that will determine our eternal destiny. Do we agree with that? You remember Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27? The Bible says, it is appointed once for man to die, but after this, the judgment. So the life that you live today, your life will, in your obedience to God, in your faithful obedience to God, and us holding to the commandments of the Father, will, not could, but it will determine your eternal destiny. Do we get that? When we use those words, eternal destiny, that means it's not going to end. Once you are sentenced to hell, you're sentenced to hell. Once you are accepted into the kingdom of heaven, you're accepted into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? There will be no more war against principalities, against flesh, against any of that. It will be nothing but great joy in that beautiful place called heaven, or it will be the horrors and the agony of hell for those that continue to practice sin. Why then do we just keep on sinning? Please know that hell is a conscious torment. Do you understand that? It's not going to be like some doctor gives you a shot, puts you to sleep, or gives you some gas and puts you to sleep, and then your body's going to go through it. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be very conscious, in flaming fire. God's doing that for a reason. Yes or no? You're going to feel every drop of it. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, down in verse 50, the Bible shows hell as a furnace of fire where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the book of Mark chapter 9, down around verse 48, the scripture describes hell as a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, I forgot to give that one. I added that one this morning. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10 shows that he will be tormented with fire and, the Bible says, brimstone. Is that that's pretty serious consequences? Does everybody agree so far that this place called hell, we don't want any part of it, amen? So it warrants the question, why then do we just keep on sinning? Well, let's just think about this. Think about being separated from God, not being able to talk with God in prayer, not being able to praise Him anymore, not being able to offer thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father for all the things that He's done. That alone would be severe enough for me. Think about not ever being able to go to God in prayer ever again, and then being put into outer darkness, totally separated, no stability, nothing, just outer darkness, suffering, and we can't even pray to God ever again. Is that pretty serious? And that don't even scratch the surface about how bad hell is. Do you want to go there? But it warrants the question. So why then do we just keep on sinning? It's hard enough, and I don't say this in a judgmental way, but the society in which we live, it's hard enough to live with people that are fornicators and adulterers and drunkards and robbers and gamblers and all this kind of stuff. Do you agree with that? It's hard enough to live with people that have these firm addictions and so on. It's difficult. That don't mean we don't love them, but I mean it can be difficult. Jerry can be easily influenced. Anybody else can be easily influenced besides me? A bunch of y'all are liars, but then a bunch of y'all telling the truth. The ones that said, no, I can't, you're the ones going to be, you've already been influenced to lie. But the reality is we've got to be like super, super careful, don't we? Let's go back over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. That's going to be found right beside the book of Nehemiah. Galatians 5, we're going to go 19 through 21. Do you agree that it's hard living in a society today that's full of people, a lot of people? I can't judge everyone. No, I can't judge anyone. But do you agree that it's hard to live in a society full of individuals that couldn't care less about God, that couldn't care less about the consequences of hell? It's hard to live with people like that, isn't it? I sure don't want to be with those folks for eternity unless they repent. I hope that every one of them will repent. We'll all get to heaven. Amen? Wouldn't that be super awesome? But that's not what the Bible tells us, because there's going to be people that reject God, that reject His teachings, that reject doing the right thing. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 is going to give you a list, but not limited to this list. And if you're ready to hear it, say, I'm ready. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are evident. It's adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Is there a bunch of haters out there today? Contentions, jealousies. There are a bunch of jealousies going on. Outburst of wrath. Is that happening today? Absolutely. Selfish ambitions. Walk over anybody to get to the top. Don't care whose shoulders I have to stand on. Is that about right? That's sad, isn't it? Dissensions, heresies. What about this? Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just like I've told you in times past, that those who practice such things, and I'm not going to say this, we're going to say it together, those who practice such things, come on, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you get that? Do we believe that? Then why then do we just keep on sinning? Are y'all getting the point of this yet? Okay. So I believe, and I'm convinced, seriously speaking, that the reason, one of the reasons that people keep going, I don't think they fully understand hell's punishment. And they, I think sometimes, guilty of all charges, this one right here, the guy you're looking at, guilty of what I'm about to tell you. Many, many times I've just used it as an excuse. Well, I'm going to try to do better. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to do better. You know, there comes a time when a parent gets tired of hearing that from a child. And after a while, what does that parent do? They discipline them, don't they? To try to straighten them out and get them in the right spot and get them where they need to be. God's doing the same thing, brothers and sisters. He tells us in Hebrews 10, 26, if you just keep on sinning after knowing right from wrong, there's not going to be a sacrifice. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Hebrews 10, verse 26, there will no longer remain a sacrifice for that sin. Is that scary, brothers and sisters? Then why do we keep on sinning? Point number two, why do some folks keep on sinning? Why are people continuing to sin? Because many people have not been taught. Do you agree with that? There's been a lot of people that haven't been taught. Some are ignorant of God's will and way. I'm not using the word ignorant the way the world uses that word. I'm using the word ignorant means lack of knowledge of. Does that sound right? Lack of knowledge of? Well, thank you, Michael. Okay, so lack of knowledge of. I truly believe that not knowing God's word, I'm serious. I believe that is one of the common causes of people to sin today. I really do believe that if folks would read and study the word of God and see what God has to say to his people and witness just how much God truly loves you and me, I believe that alone would cause us to repent. Not because just because of hell's punishment, but when you see that nobody but nobody loves you like God loves you, that alone motivates me to do the right thing. What about you? Five of you. That's not bad at all. God loves you. Do you believe that? God has provided for you. Do you believe that? God has sent His only begotten Son to die in your place as a sacrifice for sin. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him. 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him what? Might be saved. That means it's your choice, amen? Might be saved. The Bible doesn't say will be, might be. It's your choice. Continue in sin, you'll be lost. Practice righteousness, you'll be saved. Is it pretty simple? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and He died for me. Amen? He died for us. You like it? So, when you think about John 3:16, and you think about John 3:17, And you think about Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You think about Matthew 1, 21. You think about Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You think about Isaiah chapter 53. There's no way you can come away with the idea that God doesn't love His people. Amen? Because God loves you, and God loves me. He's given Jesus for you and for me. What else do you want? What else do you want? He gave His all when He gave Jesus. Do you understand that? He looked through the beauty, the comfort, and the splendor of heaven and sent Jesus, His Son, a perfect, sinless one, to come and to die, to be rejected, first of all, to be rejected, to be beat upon, to be persecuted, to be mocked, to be spat upon, all of these things. And He did it for you and He did it for me. What else do you want? We want forgiveness. Amen. The way to get forgiveness is by not continuing to practice sin, by not going against God. God gave us His Son. He gives us His Word. He gives us promises that we can count on. Is that about right? God gives us guidance. Say it like you mean it with an amen. He gives us support that we need when we're down and out. Amen. He also humbles us when we get a little bit too proud, doesn't He? Okay. Does He give us encouragement? Does He give us trials? Does He give us storms sometimes to help mold us and develop us and to make us stronger? Did He give us His Son? Did He give us a place for all of His followers to be for eternity? That's right. In John chapter 14, verse 2, the Bible says, "In My Father's house are many what?" Jesus says, "If it was not so, I would have told you." What else did He say? He says, and then what did He say? He said, "When I come back, I'm going to take you with Me." Is that what He said? He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you." You forgot that word, if. "And if I go and prepare a place for you." That word "if" is used because He's not preparing a place for everybody. He's preparing a place for those that are obedient. Amen? Because hell is a prepared place as well for those that when He says, "Depart from Me, I never what?" That place in heaven is not prepared for that person unless they repent, unless they make things right before they take that final breath. Amen? And I'm not up here advocating deathbed repentance either. Don't get that idea. But John 14:2 talks about it. We know that God showers us with His blessings, and He does it on a daily basis, doesn't He? Did He give us food? Did He give us shelter? Did He give us clothing? Did He give us medication? Did He give us family and friends? Yes, He did. Then why do we just keep sinning? What else do you want from God? He's given us every single thing that He can possibly give us, including His own Son. I want you to think about that. And I'm going to think about that. The next time we're faced with a decision, I wonder if this is right or wrong. You know whether it's right or wrong, don't you? I like it. I love it when I make people uncomfortable. It makes me know I'm doing my job. Because I'm preaching to me, and I'm always the one that leaves out here limping. So I hope it hits you a little bit. The reality is God is an awesome God. He loves creation, but He doesn't excuse sin, does He? He doesn't allow us to commit spiritual adultery against Him. Are y'all ready for your third point? Amy, we got 12 points today. Whatever, just let me know that. I'm kidding. All right, so look at this. We got one last point, and the lesson is yours. The third and final point is this. Some folks keep sinning because it's intentional. It is, isn't it? Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes people just entertain sin. Sometimes people couldn't care any less. Some people sin deliberately. Sadly, there are countless folks in the world today that sin, and they'll do it at a drop of a hat, a blink of an eye. They think nothing of it. They know what the Bible says. Many have even been taught what the Word of God says, but they enjoy the passing pleasure of sin than the walk with Jesus Christ. I haven't said this in a long time, but even on Facebook, some people that used to attend here that at one time were faithful here at James Avenue Church of Christ, and you look at their Facebook and you go, "What in the world has happened?" Sinning intentionally. Just a couple of days ago, I saw a couple that used to go here. Saw it on Facebook. I had to turn it off because it made me sick to my stomach. I felt like throwing up and I was out of Finnegan. And the reality is, one of the guys, he was just holding this beer up, and then he had his arm around some other girl, and he was doing all that and bragging about how intoxicated he was and how he got plastered over the weekend and all this other stuff. And then I saw the girls and wound up with another guy, and You know, that's what happens when you get away from God. You get all messed up, don't you? Say it like you mean it. Amen? So I saw this, and then I'm seeing the language that is being used by active members of the congregation today. What in the world are you doing? And I hope that they're tuned in by Facebook. I see people that come here today that's got the worst language on some of the Facebook things. It makes me sick. Don't you know who you're representing? Don't you know that you're representing God? Amen? Don't you know that you are a brother and sister in Christ? Don't you know that I have weaknesses and I need positive influences? I don't need your negative. Amen? I need somebody to be around me that says, Jerry, you can stop the abusive language. You don't have to use words like that, Jerry, lad. It's going to get better, and I am getting better. But then when I'm looking on Facebook and I'm seeing my brothers and sisters in Christ using these words, I'm like, what in the world? I didn't know that that was happening today. And then they're bragging about how much they drink. They're bragging about this and bragging about this woman and bragging about this man. What in the world? And yet some of the, I'm going to tell you what kills me, and then I'll get off my soapbox, is these people who put all of this filthy, rubbish stuff on their Facebook, and then the next post they share is about Jesus. Have you ever seen that? And this guy on there, I'm talking about serious graphic stuff on there. And then you'll see that where they share this, and I'm talking nasty language. And then a couple posts down, my life would be nothing without Jesus, and God has done this, and God's delivered me. Really, I don't think you know the same God that I know, but I'm not judging you. Why then do we just keep on sinning? If you're convicted by what I said today, thank God. Because thankfully, I had Jerry Maxwell and Wendell Byrd and several people that come to me and said, Jerry, lad, you are psycho. You're living a life that's going to send you straight to hell if you don't get straightened out. Was I mad? Oh, absolutely. Was I ticked off? Yeah. Was I ready to fight? Absolutely. Thank God they loved me enough to continue with me. Amen? And not give up on me. I'm not giving up on people, but until we point out their sin, and my own sin in my life, people are not going to know to repent. We've jelly beaned everything. Oh, you can slip and fall on it, but it's okay. It still has a good taste. People are never going to come to repentance unless we show them in the scripture that it's time to repent and what to repent of. Amen? We can't just sit back and say, well, I hope he'll do better and she'll do better. We got to fix it, brothers and sisters. Why then do we just continue to sin? Because it is convenient, isn't it? All right. And people like it. All right, let's get rolling. We got to go. We know according to the conduct and lifestyles of so many people in the world today that some entertain sin. They think nothing about it, and they permit themselves to indulge in sin. James chapter 1, 12 through 16, we'll talk to you about that. Sometimes I believe that man sins because he's not being watchful. He's not being alert. He's not being aware. 1 Peter 5, 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the walketh about like a seeking whom he... Heather just killed that. Good job. Like a roaring, seeking whom he can gobble up and devour. Isn't that about right? Proverbs 22, verse 3, the Bible says, a prudent man foresees evil. And what does he do? That's right. But a simple just pass on, and after that, they are what? They're punished. We have folks in the world today that fail to develop self-control. Don't we get in more trouble because of lack of self-control? Do you know how many times I've been suspended from high school because of my mouth? Fired from multiple jobs because, believe it or not, y'all may think that I'm just saying this, but I'm not really shy like some people think. That didn't come across good, did I? Love y'all too. But sometimes I have a tendency to kind of keep going, and don't say long-winded preacher, Teresa. But sometimes I just can't stop when I need to stop, and it's got me in a whole lot of trouble, hasn't it? It gets all of us in trouble if we're not careful. But we've got to be careful. I say all that to say this. We need to have self-control in our life, don't we? All right. What about in traffic? Do we need self-control? All right. We got to be sure that we're not partaking in other people's sins. People join hands with those that think little or nothing about sin. Why then do people keep sinning today? Why do people just keep winding themselves up in it? They keep sinning because they refuse to resist the devil. That's a reason that people just keep on going. They're not being vigilant and could not care any less about the consequences of their actions. Why? Because perhaps they haven't been told. Maybe it's intentional. They just do it on purpose. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee from you. What does that mean? He'll leave. You're done. It's over with for a while. And that doesn't mean forever. Sadly, there's only a few people today, according to the Bible, there's only a few that's living a righteous life. Yes, there are those in the Bible that sinned intentionally. Last week we looked at them, Ananias and Sapphira. Remember in Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11? Did they sin intentionally? Judas Iscariot, did he sin intentionally? Joseph's brothers, when they sold him into slavery. Bobby, did they sin intentionally? Yep. Peter, when he denied Jesus Christ 2 times? Very good. 3 times, did he sin intentionally? Yes, he did. Jonah, when he was fleeing his responsibilities, God said, go to Nineveh, cry out against him. Nah, I ain't going there. Have a good day, buddy. Did he go? Eventually he went, didn't he? But he had a rough route to get there, didn't he? Did he sin intentionally? Yes, he did. So we understand that they did that. Some made it right with Jesus, though, didn't they? And some didn't. Some made it right. Some didn't. This morning, what about you? Do you want to make it right? Are you tired of wallowing in sin? Are you tired of sin having control over you? Does sin have control over you this very day? Is sin controlling your everyday walk of life? Is sin dictating to you, even to this day, the movie selection that you and your friend watches, or your girlfriend, or your wife, or whoever? Is sin dictating the type movie that you watch? Is sin dictating the type music that you listen to? Is sin dictating the places that you frequent, the places you go? Is sin dictating the people that you associate with? Is sin holding you captive? Are you today in sin's prison? If so, listen, come to know Jesus Christ. Get rid of the sin and get a whole bunch of that good righteousness. Amen? All right, I know it was a long, kind of a boring lesson, but I wanted to point some things out to you today. I want to make sure you understand hell is real. Amen? But God's love is real and it is stronger. So it's your choice today. Choose heaven, choose hell. Choose heaven, you got a place in paradise. You got a place where there's no war, no sadness, no tears, nothing. A new life with Christ Jesus. Never a problem, forever and ever and ever, amen. Or choose hell. A place of agony, a place of defeat, a place of horror, a place of pain, a place of torment that'll last forever and ever and ever, amen. You choose this day. As for me and my household, I choose Jesus Christ. I choose the Lord. Today, if you're not a Christian, I hope and pray you become one by hearing His Word, believing, repenting, confessing, be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, be faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you are a Christian, you know in your heart, man, I haven't been doing right. I've been acting like Jerry Sr. I need to kind of get things right. I'm telling you right now, I want the prayers of the congregation. I'll say it right here every single Sunday. I want your prayers, and I've said before, I want to be a better preacher, I want to be a better husband, a better dad, a better friend, a better brother in Christ. I need to develop a little more kindness, and as my wife told me just yesterday, Jerry, you need a little bit better bedside manner. I didn't know I didn't have a good bedside manner. I've always been a jerk, so I don't understand that. So I'm going to do better, I'm going to be a nicer jerk. Try to, in 3 more weeks. All right, so anyway, today, if you need anything at all, you're welcome to come right now. Together we stand.